Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms, through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community.
Good evening, good morning, good night, good second breakfast, whenever you are, wherever you are. My name is Laura Gonzalez, and I'd like to welcome you to Lunatic Mondays, Lunes Lunaticos, the very first bilingual show for CSMP, the Circle Podcast Radio Network. The Circle Podcast, the Circle Sanctuary Network Podcast. Thank you, Mercury Retrograde. Well, I'm glad I messed up that, and so I can actually read this biography like the goddess intended me to read it. Tonight we have the one and only Phyllis Carrot on the show, and I want to tell you a little bit about her. Phyllis Carrot is a spiritual pioneer, one of America's first public witches. She was also the first to merge contemporary witchcraft with core shamanism. Over the last 40 years, her tradition, the Temple of Ara, has become an international community devoted to the spiritual wisdom of Mother Earth. Phyllis is also an attorney whose groundbreaking case secured the rights of witches, the author of 4 international best-selling books, and the teacher who's made witchcraft accessible to the world. Phyllis received her bachelor's in philosophy from Brown University and her JD from New York University Law School. For her lifelong activism, she has been inducted into the Martin Luther King Jr. Collegium of Clergy and Scholars, honored by Jane Magazine as one of the 10 gutsiest women of the year, and given the Service of Humanity Award in 2018 by One Spirit Seminary. She has been published by Time as one of America's leading voices. New York Magazine described her teachings as the culture's next big idea, and her YouTube series, What is Wicca, has over 2 million views. Phyllis is the first Wiccan trustee and vice chair of the Parliament of the World's Religions and creator of the historic 2015 inaugural Women's Assembly. She was the Wiccan representative to the Harvard University Religious Pluralism Project Consultation on Religious Discrimination, serves on the advisory board of Cherry Hill Seminary, and is a sought-after public speaker, as well as the Witch's Wisdom Tarot. Recent projects include her online course, Awaken the Witch Within. She's currently working on her next book about Mother Earth's spiritual vision at her home in New York and in Italy with the Ara community. I am also very thrill, and you have no idea, my dear friends, how honored to say she's also my friend. And man, isn't that something? Welcome, Phyllis Carrot. How are you tonight?
I'm very good, and I'm the best. The best thing of all is that you consider me your friend, because that makes me very, very, very happy. Very happy.
I am thrilled to be your friend. I am thrilled that we've connected in this lifetime, and we have so many things that, you know, so many commonalities in our practice and with the shamanism and the animism and the reverence for Mother Earth and all these wonderful anecdotes about practice and your life and everything. But before we delve into this new project of yours, this wonderful Witch's Wisdom Tarot, I want to tell people a little bit about the artist, if that is okay with you.
Oh, yes, please, definitely. You must tell people about Danielle Barlow. She's amazing.
All right, so I will put you on mute for a second, Phyllis. And let me tell you about Danielle Barlow. Danielle Barlow is a painter, illustrator, and incense maker, and for the past 20 years has been a practicing head witch on the moors of Dartmoor in the southwest of England. As well as being the co-creator of the Witch's Wisdom Tarot, She is the creator of the Green Wheel Oracle and has works and collections around the world. A very busy mother of three and caretaker of animals and land, she also designs book covers and has written and illustrated for magazines. Born in 1974, Danielle trained in textiles, then horticulture, before returning to her first love, painting. Today, she works primarily in ink and watercolor, while also stitching and practicing herbalism. Her work is deeply rooted in the ancient landscape in which she resides, exploring the physical and spiritual connections between people and the land they inhabit, and drawing upon folklore and mythology. The spirit of the land is her heartfelt in her depictions of the shifting relationships between humans, animals, plants, and land. Above all, her paintings attempt to capture the elusive genius Loki spirit of place. So that is what we have about Danielle. And well, Phyllis, I am thrilled to have you here. This was a long time coming, because that video that has been rolling around Facebook about you and I hugging, and when you came to Chicago and I saw you live, that was last year, or was it the year before last?
Yeah, I don't even know. I think it was last year. Feels like a million years ago, though, right? Yeah.
It feels like a million years ago. Yeah, when people were free to roam around the planet and actually travel and things.
And
God,
hug.
Right? How you been? I'm sorry, I have to, get that question out of the way. How you been with all the COVID restrictions, traveling stuff?
Good.
Your family, everybody safe?
Yeah. We're all good. We went, my sweetheart and I were both diagnosed by doctors with having COVID and certainly had the symptoms. And then by the time we went to go get tested here in New York, because they were asking you not to get tested, we tested negative. So, we were pretty darn sick. So that was that. And then I had some heart surgery over the summer. So it's been busy. But, I have to say, it's difficult here in New York. It was terrifying because we got hit first, and it was genuinely, it was horrifying and terrifying. But we got it under control. We got it under control by quarantining, by wearing masks when we went out, by social distancing, by not going to bars and restaurants inside, by not gathering in large groups without masks. And we managed to flatten the curve, and there's been a certain resurgence, but everybody's being super responsible. So there's no question but that we can get it under control with good leadership and with a good sense of responsibility by all of us as citizens caring for one another. We can get through this, but a lot of the burden now is on us, and you have to have good local leadership because we're not getting it at the national level, I will say bluntly, because it's the truth. So we're heading back now into the fall and winter, and everybody needs to get their flu shots and wear masks and quarantine if you've been exposed, and take it really, really, really seriously, because we've had also dear friends who are very, very sick, and we consider ourselves very lucky, but I worry about everyone. And so you got to be responsible. You got to be careful. You got to wear a mask when you go out. You got to wash your hands, and you have to social distance. I waited 2 hours this morning. Got up at 6 a.m. Went to vote at 7. Waited online for 2 hours. Everybody was wearing masks. People were bunching up on those lines a little bit, but pretty much social distancing, and they were wiping everything down inside. And we voted. The one thing I keep telling people, because I've been doing a lot of readings and consultations during the last few months, is to get outside as much as you can in nature, because nature heals and nature makes us better and eases the stress and eases the anxiety and nourishes us energetically and, literally, constantly with every breath and drop of water and bite of food. But she also nourishes our souls and our spirits, and it's just incredibly important for people to get sunlight, get fresh air, take a walk, pay attention to the beauty of Mother Nature, because there's, you know, we're going to get through this. We're going to get through this, and she'll help us get through it.
We shall. And this, I cannot not bring up the conversation that you and I were having on the phone a few months ago about this not being a punishment, this not being a thing that was sent to us by the goddess because we don't know how to behave. And this is not it. This is, it's just happened and is rooted on unethical ways of humanity, but it's not a, you know, it's not a punishment. It's just, it happens and we have to deal with it. And as I have to wholeheartedly agree, there is no leadership. So we have to relate on ourselves and each other and take care of each other. And, you know, I thank the goddess with all my might for my little dog, because he makes me go out and I have to get some sun and I have to get him to the little patches of grass here in the city of Chicago. And that little bit helps. You are absolutely correct.
Yeah, it really does. After we'd all been in the house for 6 weeks and people finally, you know, if you had a backyard and you could get out, it made it, for me, it made a huge difference. But people were just, especially in New York City, you know, where it's tough, you know, like you're in Chicago, when they finally were able to get outside, you know, people were just like ecstatic to have a few minutes to walk in Central Park or Washington Square. And sometimes, you know, it's a terrible thing about human beings that we have to lose something or be denied it to fully appreciate it. So, you know, we're trapped inside. We can't be with one another. And you realize how precious the people that you love are and how important to you they are and how important Mother Earth is to us. And did we talk about this? One of the amazing things, they haven't been talking about it lately, but they were talking about it in June, was the drop in air pollution. It dropped 6%. In the spring, because we weren't running all over the place. We weren't in airplanes and we weren't in cars. And the planet immediately started to show signs of recuperation. So, so there's a lesson, you know.
Yeah. The line that I've been using, Phyllis, is this is not sent by the goddess as a punishment, but thank goddess we have it, because this has put all of us in reflection. And it is like giving birth. We're birthing a new nation. We're birthing a new world. There is a lot of things that we used to do that might not be done the same way after the pandemic is over. I am an advocate for people staying home and working from home if it's possible. And we have seen now, we've proved now that a lot of works that are, a lot of jobs that we thought people needed to go to offices or needed to go to buildings or specific venues can be perfectly done at home. So that should be a choice for people, you know, and that will cut or continue bringing down some of the pollution and all the yucky things that we're throwing at the earth. And I mean, this is a wonderful conversation that I wish we could continue having today. But my dear friend, today you're here to speak to us all about the Witch's Wisdom Tarot. It feels like it was yesterday when we were talking about it and you were telling me about the journeying and the channeling and the drumming, and here it is in my hands. It arrived a few weeks ago, but I hold on to it and I decided to open it up today. I had to put it away and be like, no, Laura, nope. And I was looking at the box.
I wouldn't have been able to control myself.
I was very excited, but I was like, you have to wait and open it up the day of, because I wanted to, this show is actually very, you know, about genuine reactions. And that's why I filmed myself doing it. And I love it. I love the box. I love the box. I love everything about it, but take us on the journey from the beginning. When did you get the inspiration to let me do some revolutionary tarot deck and go?
I'm so glad you love it. I know, and I love the box too, and I love everything inside the box. It's a truly, you know, every inch of it is magical. A year and a half ago, 2 years ago, Michelle Pilley, who's the editor in chief, publisher at Hay House UK in England, with whom I had just done my latest book, Wicca Made Easy, and then I did Awaken the Witch Within, the online course with them, and she asked me if I wanted to do a witch's tarot. And I was ecstatic. I've been a tarot reader for as long as I've been a witch. I mean, I became a witch because of a tarot reading by a witch. So I know how important it is, and I love the tarot. I love divination as a way of not just communicating with the divine, but communing with it, because it's one of my most, I think, one of my most precious spiritual practices, because I know that I am not alone, that I can ask and I'm going to get an answer, and that that answer is coming from a sacred source, and it always has my best interests at heart, always. Sometimes it's cryptic, sometimes it takes time, you know, for me to understand it, sometimes it takes time for things to manifest, but I know that that the source of the wisdom and the guidance that I'm getting is coming from, it's a sacred source, and I know that it's always in my best interest. And so it's been a profound spiritual tool and a spiritual practice for me for 40 years. And the chance to do a tarot deck was thrilling, because I, like most people who read tarot, right, you have lots of decks. And I've gone through, you know, quite a number of decks over the years, this one, that one. And I settled in. I love the Robin Wood deck, and I use that when I do readings for other people. But even that deck, which is innovative and has gotten rid of the traditional image, for example, of the devil that's gone, most decks, as you know, most decks are based on the Rider-Waite-Smith deck, right, from the turn of the last century. And they were part of the Golden Dawn. They were ceremonial magicians. And so it was very radical in its day. But it has this energy. Aside from, like, there's a lot of Christian symbolism. There are crucifixes and churches and the Hierophant, for example, is the Pope. And, of course, it has the devil. And the Judgment card, with the figures rising from their graves, and angels, and the card that always really just is like, that doesn't make sense to me, was the world with the figure floating suspended in space. Not the world, but the person floating in space. And in each of the corners, the four corners, are symbols of the four directions, but there's the symbols specifically of the archangels. So it's a very... you know, it was a ceremonial, magical deck. But the message in it always was this idea of moving away from Mother Earth, right? That you start with the magician who has, you know, supernatural powers in a certain sense, right? Magical gifts to control nature, right? That he has power over the four elements. He's the magician. He controls them. And then the cards continue along a spiritual progression, and often taught three levels, which we don't have to talk at length. Yeah, I mean, but you know, sort of three levels of consciousness, three levels of spiritual development, that culminates in the world, which is usually sort of interpreted as this kind of mastery over matter. Again, you know, in full circle, but that you have transcended the limits of space and time and world, and So I didn't intend to overthrow the order or the values of the major arcana, but that's what ended up happening. So the process by which that happened was profound, and it came from other than intention. It came from the process that we were using and the guides that we had. I was very lucky. Danielle Barlow was brought by a series of very magical synchronicities, and before we'd even spoken, I didn't know, and she didn't know, but we both journeyed. We both used this universal ancient shamanic technique that I've been using for 40 years. You read in my bio, I was the first person to integrate core shamanism with witchcraft or Wicca 40 years ago. And 40 years later, you know, Danielle is in the countryside of England, in Devon, England, on the moors, and she journeys exactly as I do, right? This technique is all over the world now, was all over the world from the time of our ancestors, but it's been rediscovered in modern times. Before we'd even spoken to each other, we both journeyed. We both asked the same question. We asked our guides that we had, what do we need to know to create a new witch's tarot? And we were both told the same thing. We were told, begin with the elements, not the symbols. Begin with the elements, and they will tell you what the world needs to know, what you need to know, what the world needs to know. And when we spoke, finally, when we, you know, I'd looked at her artwork, and I was like, okay, this is the person, and Hay House was happy, and so, you know, it was time to talk. Get on the Skype, and we're talking to each other across the Atlantic Ocean, and we discover in our conversation, same method, same question, same answer. It's like, this is clearly the person. And it was wonderful because in a lot of decks, the author instructs the artist in what they want. And in this, I had a companion. I had a traveling companion. I had somebody who could participate in the spiritual process of discovery. And it was amazing. Sometimes I would journey first, and then she would journey into what I saw, or vice versa. Sometimes we knew we had a certain number of cards to do within a certain time frame. We would journey. We would write everything down, send what we had written, what we'd experienced to each other, read them. Then we would consult. We would talk over Skype again. And very often we had seen the same or similar things, similar symbols, landscapes, messages. I'm used to having very visual journeys, but it was fascinating, and it made a lot of sense after a while that her journeys were sometimes more visual than mine, and she would sort of go through the process, but I would be seeing like the last scene in the journey, and I would be inundated with messages and poetry and meaning and teachings, which made sense because I'm the writer. So we would confer and determine what we were being told. Sometimes we had to put the journeys together to understand them. Sometimes mine was more emphatic and more powerful, or occasionally it was hers, and we would go with that. But inevitably I found that when it came time to write the card, there was an interweaving, so some of her words would be in my journeys and my words would be in hers as I described them. And it was extraordinary. It was epic. It was an epic quest. We did, about 200 journeys by the time we were done, because we would repeat, you know, we'd sometimes go back in and ask again or explore further. And we went through all the elements, and there were teachings that were in keeping with what we both knew as shamanic witches. She's a hedge witch, and I'm trained as a Wiccan priestess, but we are both shamanic in our approach to the practice of witchcraft and see it as the revival of an ancestral wisdom tradition. And we both work with spirits of place, spirits of land, spirits of animals, with the land itself, with the animals and the plants, and see them as teachers and guides and allies. And at the conclusion of the elements, we realized again and again, we were being shown that the divine exists in realms of spirit, which is accessible to us, but that it's also present in the world that we live in, and it's embodied by all of nature, by all of creation, and we participate in that. We just mostly have forgotten and disregard it, but we are air and water and fire and earth, and the animals were wise teachers that showed us all kinds of things that they understood about creation and about nature and about the elements. And in doing that, they began to teach us about parts of ourselves that we've forgotten about, wisdom about ourselves that we've ignored. In the Rider deck, one of the amazing things that Smith did was to in the minor arcana, right, was to draw those scenes with people. And the symbols were used, the wands and the pentacles and the cups and the swords, for the elements. But the elements were seen as metaphors for human qualities, which is a big part of witchcraft, modern witchcraft. You know, the air is your mind and the fire is your spirit and the water is your emotions and the earth is your body. All true. But we were shown that the elements aren't just human metaphors. They have independent, you know, this is a part of voodoo. This is a part of Santeria. This is a part of most indigenous traditions. You know, there's an objective reality that is not about us. We participate in it. We're a strand in this web. And it was profound. I mean, it showed us that the divine is embodied by creation and by us. And it showed us how to rediscover all these lost parts of ourselves. And then we started on the major arcana. And that's when my first journey, I journeyed into the world. And it's that image that you held up in your Facebook video of a young, for me, there were many people leaving this city on a hill that was aflame. And they were heading out into nature. And Danielle's brilliance as the artist interpreting the visions, because she brought such richness to every image that she created, was the depiction of this young woman in the foreground with hat pulled down and the pack on her back and her sensible hiking boots, very British, head down, and she's striding into the natural world. And I was like, whoa, this is the world as it actually is. Because it, you know, it is on fire, right? California, now Colorado. I mean, the temperature's going up. Australia. That journey, I think, took place in the midst of the Australian fires. So it was shocking. It was really shocking. And then the next journey, there was that young woman again, only she had changed her shape. She was bigger, and she looked a little older. And she was washing her face, and there were these little foxes that were tearing up her pack, and a badger had carried off one of her boots, and a crow was pulling her hat off. And I realized it was the card that was taking the place of judgment. And then the next journey was the sun, and it was this young black man. He's not a man. He's not a boy. He's a teenager, really, right? He's right on the cusp of manhood. And it was different. It was more, right, the traditional sun card is a child, a male child, but very sort of luminous and super healthy. And our sun, he's incredibly beautiful and incredibly vulnerable. He's holding his heart out, and he has scars on his chest. He's been wounded, but he is healing. And it's a card about healing. And then it continued on. And I realized, and I discussed this with Danielle. Now, Danielle, I should say, had one tarot reading in her whole life right before this project began. So
wow.
She was not bringing, yeah, so she was, which was wonderful, because she wasn't bringing, you know, assumptions and expectations and intentions. She was just wide open. And so was I, but, you know, I had more of a framework. It was amazing. And I realized after a couple of journeys of going backwards, and I was like, of course, this is a witch's major arcana. Instead of starting out trying to control nature and everything with magic, right, and ending up transcending, you know, and looking for enlightenment in realms of just pure energy, the world, which is the direction of the journey of the Rider-Waite-Smith deck up and out, away from Mother Earth, into, you know, into transcendent energy, divine energy, very New Age. Ours was from the world in which we live, both artificially created by humans, but still divinely natural and still healthy. And it's a journey into that world. And through that world, it's an initiatory descent into creation, into life, into the heart of what it means to be human and what it means to be part of creation. And the energies are very different. I'm hoping you've had a chance to look at them between when you open them. And now they're very feminine. So we could, and I'll stop talking and you can ask me a question. But as you look at them, of course, a lot of the characters are gone, the churches and the crucifixes and the people coming out of graves.
Mm-hmm.
The devil, of course, is completely gone. But in addition to the change of characters, there's a shift in energies. And it's much more, there's overlap and similarities in the Rider deck, in the traditional
mm-hmm.
deck. Like the idea of movement in the card, the Journey card, which you were held up and were talking about. But instead of it being the Chariot with that harnessing of energy and strong will and using both good, you know, good things and bad things to move yourself forward in life, brilliant. You know, it's a great card. But it's very much about triumph and will and determination and steering things and being in control. And our card, when we journeyed into it, was the Pilgrim, who appears throughout the major arcana, and sometimes is the figure, like the, in the sun, it's the Pilgrim. And he, she kept shape-shifting. Starts out as a girl, becomes an older woman, becomes a young black man, becomes an older black man, keeps changing, becomes a child. It was amazing. And how the organic diversity kept expressing itself through the teachers and through the Pilgrim himself, herself, themselves. But in that Journey card, the idea is that the point is the journey, and you don't have to know where you're going. And the Pilgrim and the horse travel side by side, as opposed to the idea of, you know, harnessing the force of nature, in a sense, right? The horse to move you. The horse becomes your teacher and your traveling companion, teaching you about instinct and openness and enjoying the journey for the journey's sake. And the Tower card is very different in its energy. It instead of the lightning bolt coming out of, you know, from God to break open resistance and shatter the structures you've created and start everything over, and that kind of loss of control because of divine forces. It's similar in the sense of losing control, you know, that there's a divine energy that is moving you that you have to
mm-hmm.
allow to you know, to change where you are and where you're going to go. But it's the maze, and so it's gentler. It's like, you know, the Pilgrim enters, guided by the fox, doesn't know where they're going, you know, doesn't know how to go where they're going, and has to trust
mm-hmm.
the energy within which their adventure is contained, right? That there's a container for this energy which is sacred and which is, in effect, guiding you. It's very different. And the devil's gone and replaced by the ancestor.
Mm-hmm.
And the Hierophant is replaced by the Wisdom Keeper. Much, much different energy. No hierarchy. A wise one. Probably the wisest of all. But there's no word spoken. It's just the sitting in the presence of life, essentially. And seeing that life itself is sacred. That it's constantly changing. But no matter where you are, anywhere on the planet, to be present in life is to be present with everything that's sacred. And the Magician is replaced by the Council of All Beings. So instead of it being a guy with magical powers to control nature to get what he wants, it is the summoning of the Council of All Beings, of humans and animals and fish and birds and spirits and plants, coming because the world is in crisis. And the energy is also,
mm-hmm.
it's very different. There's a softness and a gentleness and a welcoming and a sense of laughter. And even in the face of a great crisis, there is a sense of community. And the Pilgrim is also very different. Instead of it being a fool, not looking where they're going. She's looking straight ahead, and she doesn't know where she's going, right? She doesn't know where the path will take her. She doesn't know what lies on the other side of the hill. But what she knows is that she's supported and sustained and cherished and
mm-hmm.
loved, and she just has to trust that the world itself, even when it's difficult, even when it challenges and unmakes her, you know, that she is sustained and loved by Mother Earth and by all of creation as she makes that journey. So it's a very more feminine energy,
mm-hmm.
I would say. It's the energy of
yep.
Mother Earth, of the divine feminine embodied by creation with and messages.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I was
no.
going to say about the sun, because I don't know, and, you know, this is something that probably only Danielle knows, but with the sun, I get this energy that is very androgynous in nature. To me, this person looked like someone that could have been a transgender man.
Yes.
But never mind my interpretation. I see the joy on their face.
Yeah.
His face, her face, their face.
Yeah.
And that is what the sun is about. It's about joy, and it's about making it the journey. I love all the changes that y'all did on the major arcana. It makes a lot of sense. Last night when I was walking my dog, I was thinking about it makes a lot of sense, because the witches have to descend. We don't rise up, but we, as much as we love the light and we love this plane of this world, the present in which we live, we descend. I think the witch that flies to the center of herself is more powerful than the one that gets high and flies to God knows where. you know, I mean, to each their own, but I love the fact that you see it as the journey inward and within nature, because we need desperately that connection back to Mother Earth. But anyway, I don't wanna let you go without talking about the people of the court. And I also wanna talk, you know, I have another couple questions, but incredibly so, it's already 37 minutes on the show. I don't mind if you can stay a little longer, but I wanna respect your time.
Yeah, no. I think we talked for an hour. I'm all yours, honey.
All right.
I love talking with you.
What I'm going to do is we're going to go into a musical break. It's a mere 2.5 minutes, and we come back with more. So, Phyllis, I'm going to put you in mute for the whole 2:30 minutes, and we'll be back with more here on Lunacy Mondays.
Bless your blue green ocean, bless your red blue sky, your streams and your valleys, your mountains so high. Bless your gods and goddesses, Buddha, Sikh, and Jay, Jesus, Allah, Yahweh, we praise your many names. Speak 1,000 languages, we speak with the same tongue. Bless our planet, a new sky, all the people on it, we all laugh and we all cry. Oh, bless our planet, place of our birth, we are all one family, we are children of the earth. Bless your vibrant cities, bless your sacred ground, your hillsides and your forests, and bless your tiny town. Bless the winged ones that fly, bless the horse and bear, elephant, the dolphin, the cricket and the hare. We speak 1,000 languages, we speak with the same tongue. Bless our planet, under one sky, all the people on it, we all laugh and we all cry. Oh, bless trees of our birth. We are all one family, we are children of the earth. Bless our planet under one sky, all the people on it. We all laugh and we all cry. Oh, bless our planet, place of our birth. We are all one family, we are children of the earth. We are all one family, we are children of the earth.
And we're back here live on Lunatic Mondays, Lunes Lunaticos, for CSN Podcast, the Circle Sanctuary Network podcast. And I'm here with Phyllis Carot. And Phyllis, I really was puzzled by the people on the court. I mean, they are all darling. They're gorgeous. They're wonderful. But I am so into the traditional way of, you know, the knight and the king and the queen and the page. And then I was trying to make heads and tails out of this guy, goddess of Ur. I love her, the spider. But can you help a witch, please? I don't know what's going on here.
Good. No, that's okay. So, well, like I said, we journeyed for all of these, and we asked again and again, what do we need to know, right? When you do divination, you have to ask the right question to get the right answer. And always with respect, you know, what is it that we need to know? What does the world need to know? And that was how the journeys were approached. And we had guides. We had the fox and Grandmother Toad and the Briar Rose and the Mycelium. They were sort of our teachers along the path. And then these spirits and teachers and guides would appear, all the animals and the plants. And when we got to the end of each of the elements, it was time to do the court cards. But and I journeyed, and it was very powerful for me. And Danielle journeyed, and it was very powerful for her. But I think it was confusing, and so she wanted to wait until we had done the majors, and then we came back to them. And what I had sensed at the beginning was true at the end. I was like, well, they're shapeshifters. That was the name. That was very clear. They're shapeshifters. They take the place of the traditional court cards, which came out of the original tarocchi, I think, the Italian tarocchi. And are wonderful. I mean, this is the thing about this deck. It's not meant to displace the Rider-Waite-Smith deck, which I think, you know, is genius, and it's the basis for most, you know, from Cats to comic book characters. You know, all the decks are based on it, right? Even witches' decks. But this deck brings things that are missing from that deck, like, you know, the movement into spirit, but then back into this world to see that this world is spirit embodied. And the shapeshifters are the teachers of how nature and spirit and human beings are one, and that we move between that, right? That nature is becoming, you know, drink water, eat food, breathe air, and the elements are becoming human. Right? And then they leave your body and they go back into nature or into plants or animals. So everything, one thing becomes another in the mother. Everything is always changing. Right? The Taoists talk about this. And the Buddhists talk about this cycle of, and above all, witches and pagans talk about this perpetual transformation, the cycle of change. And the spirit remains constant. We come from spirit. When we die, we return to spirit. But in between is this magic of embodiment, of being present in the world, in the bodies we've been given, participating in this mystery of one thing becoming another. And the shapeshifters we're the teachers. So the young ones are like the pages, the messengers. They're all young.
Mm-hmm.
And they bring specific wisdom about the element. So there's a Selkie who I just adore for the water. And I adore the messenger of air who is like a sprite with the holding a goose. And he's got wings. I saw him, and she did. I love the way she drew him. He's like Puck. He's got his ears have those little, and there are wings behind his ears and on his ankles. And the witches, of course, the witch of air is Egyptian, but she has a bull roar, so she's very old, and she's spinning creation, from ideas into reality. The witches are they the knights? I don't know. They just are. They are makers of magic and teachers of magic, and how to dance with the element and become one with the element and work with the element. And the craftsman then takes that to the next level where they craft working with the element, right? So you see the smithy at the forge, which was a powerful journey that Danielle had, seeing him in the forge, and the forge was his temple, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, the craftsman was an incredibly powerful journey. And I love the way she did it. He's thinking into the mist, trying to see and understand and calculate the magic of math to see the patterns, the sacred geometry at the heart of creation. And then there was a god. So sort of a king, but not really a king, because he's not a ruler. He is a creator. But he's also a servant of the element, right?
Right.
They're all students. In order to create with, you have to have a posture of reverence rather than the dominion of a king, It's a different kind of energy.
I have to interject here because I just have an aha moment. Of course, because I have the cards before me. And I'm looking at the Craftsman of Water. You're going to love this. I'm looking at the Craftsman of Water, and I'm like, but there's no water in this card. I'm thinking, right, all judgy on my head. I'm thinking, but there's no water in here. No, he's making it rain.
Exactly. He's the rainmaker.
My God. This is awesome. I love it. I love it because it is the maker, the craftsman, precisely. He's creating it, but he is not the master of it, and it's, the element is not the master of him. It's like a symbiotic movement, dancing, creation, et cetera.
Prayer.
I love, love, love it. I love the craftsman of earth. I love that face. I'm not going to tell people what it is.
Yeah.
You all have to get your own deck. But the craftsman of earth, oh my God.
Yeah.
You guys have to get the deck. But sorry that I had to interrupt you. But tell us about the goddess of each element, please.
Right. Well, I don't know whether the witches. I mean, I love them all. I love them all. I'm like, I love the witches the most because I love the witches and the witch of earth, right? But they are the witch of fire, the witch of water, very Yemaya. I mean, I love them all. But the goddesses are the most extraordinary and the strangest in a way. I loved how you pulled the goddess of air, and you have this thing about spiders. It's grandmother's spider woman, and Danielle in particular has a very powerful relationship with her. She's and it's a very it's a powerful image. She has the sistrum and the rattle. She cuts and she weaves, and that power appears in my writing in several places, as well as the goddess of air, this idea of, the goddess who weaves and mends and ends and begins again, like the fates, like the Norns, like Grandmother Spider, weaving all of creation. And she cuts and recreates. So it's life and death, both. And the goddess of water is amazing. I mean, you sort of have to look at it. But she was this not human, and yet, right, figure in the water. If you haven't watched My Octopus Teacher, you should, because we hadn't seen that yet, but it is like that. So she's the womb of creation.
God.
Yeah,
yes.
She's the womb of creation, and there's the octopus with her, and you see the little infant being in the center of her womb, and the fish. It's an amazing card, and goes with the Yemaya, witch of water. And
mm-hmm.
I love the diverse. You know, we didn't intend. They asked us. You know, we really love a deck. You know, to have diversity. But you know, you can't. We didn't want to control, right? So they were who they were. I love how she gives the witch of fire red hair because she's really the Oracle of Delphi. But she gave her Celtic hair.
mm-hmm.
So the true diversity, and of course the priestesses, as she should be. I mean, she's based on the first priestess I ever encountered, who was the Libyan Sibyl, and she's black, a modern version of it, but really powerful. The messenger of Earth looks very much like Greta Thunberg and is, in a way. The goddess, yeah, the goddess of Earth, right, is incredibly primal, with the head like a Hathor head, the head of the cow, and the horns, and the milk coming from her breasts, flowing like a river into a bowl, and from the bowl down onto the earth to become the rivers of Mother Earth. And the two, the mountains and the pyramids, the east and the west, the lotus and the wheat. So a lot of symbolism in that card. But that's also an incredibly primal, like the goddess of water, a very ancient, very, very ancient primordial energy. And then the,
mm-hmm.
the goddess of fire really is Baba Yaga. She's a crone,
mm-hmm.
which is so interesting, right? Because we always think of fire as, you know, this bright energy, but it is it's the wise one. It's the one who has, you know, the true wisdom, who knows how to control the fire, which has been the destruction of Western civilization, right, that we have abused fire. But she knows, you know, she's stirring the cauldron and redeems all those negative stereotypes about witches and, you know, witches eating children and all those terrible, the story of Baba Yaga is the scary figure. And it's like, she's only scary, you know, if you don't understand her role, her wisdom, her power, and you do not treat her with respect. So she's
mm-hmm.
she's sort of the most ancient of Mother Earths in a way. They're wonderful. I love them. I love every card, and I loved writing them. It was a huge challenge because I had to wait until, you know, they were painted before I could write them, and I had to really wait for the Major Arcana. So I was in my own cauldron of tight time, but they're written in a way that I don't think you find in most texts that accompany tarot cards. The first portion is a wisdom, and it's an evocation of the journey, and it's very visionary and intended to be vision provoking. So if you read them, and you feel like you're going into an altered state, you're supposed to.
Yep.
And then there's the typical thing, the essence, right, which is what you usually get, like the string of words, you know, wealth, profitability, ventures, success, that kind of, you know. And then there's a counsel, which is a very practical, this is what the card means in terms of your life and the choices that you have to make and how you can use
mm-hmm.
the wisdom that's offered. And then there's a magic, which I hadn't intended to write, but I found myself doing. And so every single card has some kind of magic, from things that are very simple, but not to be underestimated, to things that are quite old, and to folk practices, to potions, to very Zen practices to shamanic casting circle, all kind, you name it, it's in there. There's a magic for every card. So
and
it's a super magic deck.
It is super magic. I have to ask a question.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to, because I respect your time, we are supposed to end this show within 5 minutes.
Okay.
I want to ask you if you could be as generous as to give us another extra, maybe 10 or 15.
Of course.
Is that doable? Okay. All right. So, folks, fasten your seatbelts because we're going a little over. That's the first thing. The second thing I want to say is, you and I know each other. I've journeyed with you on your workshops. I have been sitting among little insects that I am completely, absolutely terrified, but I've done it with you. And you know I'm very sensitive to energy, very, very sensitive to energy. I am looking at the cards, and I am not BSing you here, folks. They really immediately take you through the visual effect of each card. They immediately take you into this journey. They really do. I haven't read the book yet. And this is another thing that my listeners by now know. This is why I do podcasts. It's really hard for me to learn from reading. I learn better from listening to the author, the teacher, etc. So I find the book and I have just, you know, skimmed through it since I opened the box 3 hours ago. It's really easy to read. I promise you, folks, if you are not well-versed, you know, an expert, if you are very new to tarot, or if you're just an aficionado, or if you only pull one card a day, it is very practical because you have, as Phyllis was saying, the magic, the message, et cetera, et cetera. It's very easy on the eyes to read. That's another thing that is important for some of us folks of a certain age or time constraints. It's easy to read. Is each page has one of the cards. The booklet is quite small, so it's not like you're going to have to read, you know, 10 volumes of this. But what I will say as a tarot reader is look at the cards first and play with them and let them tell you what they need to tell you, because I've been staring at the Goddess of the Air for 2 minutes. And I have to tell you, Phyllis, I have a hard time cutting off certain relationships because I have this immense guilt. Sometimes I don't want to be the mean girl, you know. And I'm looking at Grandmother Spider, and when you mention about her cutting, and I see her cutting the web, and I'm like, yep, I cannot be the weaver all the time and hold on people against their will to be my friends and my family. You know, I have to cut them up sometimes, and off they go, because that's the nature of Grandmother Spider. And I know nothing about the lore of Grandmother Spider, but I'm looking at it and I'm like, understand it. And this is something that I've been dealing with for years. And it is as simple as look at the card and what is she telling you. And I thank you so much for pointing that out right this minute, because I'm like, okay, the answer is right there. I have really embodied my calling of weaver. You know, you have to weave and you have to keep it together and you have to be nice and you have to, no, there are times when you have to cut, and that's okay. What a wonderful journey.
I'm thrilled. I mean, the part of the description of her and the wisdom is that she spins the fabric of connections, and she untangles the past, and she repairs the present, and she weaves the future, and she cuts. You know, she has a spindle in one hand and a knife in the other, and also a sistrum that sets the tempo for life, and she cuts the threads, and then she weaves them again. That's the thing, that this there's always this counsel in here of heart. That's one reason you would mention in the wonderful little Facebook Live that you did about reading upside down, and I wrote about that in the opening essay so people understand. The cards did not come to us with instructions about upside down. a lot of the cards contain the councils, the cards themselves sort of have the challenges within them. So it's like you don't need them to be reversed because they sort of say it's this and it's this, and, you know, as if it were upside down. You know, it's like this is the good and this is the challenge and this is how you deal with the challenge. But I'm interested in hearing what happens when you read with them and you turn them upside down. But with the Goddess of Airs, that's an example of it, because she has the sistrum, the spindle in one hand that creates the thread, and then she's got the knife that cuts it, and she's got both aspects. And the counsel about it is what you were saying. It's like the first question is like, well, what are your relationships like? You know, what are your connections to others like? And what's the energy that's flowing between you and other people? What are you sending out and what are you taking in? What are you getting? What are you giving back? And one of the questions that I asked when I wrote it was, how can you cut the ties that don't serve your life? And how do you mend the ones that do? How do you nourish relationships, and how do you end the ones that don't serve you? So you got it. I love, well, but you've been reading for, I mean, you're a witch. You're intuitive. You're magical.
Yeah.
The wisdom is there. Yeah. And it is. The first thing you do is you take the cards and you allow them to speak to you. Right.
Yep. And I love, because, you know, I do my videos on Wednesdays. And I'm just starting to cross-pollinate, because I have been very naive about not cross-pollinating what my activities are. And I am going to start doing that. So there are folks that know I do the podcast and they don't know I do the videos. And there are folks that know I do the videos and they don't know I do the podcast. So I have to start cross-pollinating. Folks,
yes,
guess what?
I do
videos. I do videos every week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Monday is the tarot reading for the week. Wednesday is the oracle cards, and Friday is learning the card of the day. So for Wednesday, you better believe I am going to grab this tarot and I'm going to pull a card of it as an oracle, because I love the fact that because you put in there the counsel, the essence, the magic, and the wisdom, this can also be used as an oracle for like a one card pull daily meditation message thing. And in modern days, I know, you know, we know that the oracle is actually the messenger, but people, to differentiate from a tarot deck to a regular deck of cards that is an what we know now as oracle, that's the difference. But this is actually a tarot deck that can be used as an oracle. Was that intended, or did it just happen?
Well, I've used my tarot cards as oracles for years, so I know. And in fact, I intend it. What we intended was to ask the right questions and pay very careful attention to the answers we got, and then for Danielle to interpret them with the full measure of her talent visually, and for me to interpret them with the full measure of my talent as a writer, and to serve the message that was given to us. And that was our intention, was to go forward with integrity and trust what we were shown and what we were told. So that was the intention. And it turns out, I think, that this deck works really well, however you want to work with it. I have not done a Celtic cross with it, and I don't know if it'll work that way. I journeyed and asked, you know, how can one work with this deck? And I was shown a way of doing a spread that I called the Compass Rose, which is the image on the back of the cards and on the bag that you noted, and is the rose is one of the teachers in the deck. It goes with the ancestor. That's where you really see its wisdom. And that Compass Rose is a complex, but I'll be interested to hear if you work with it. And you can do it as just a reading or a spell. And you can do, I should have said in the book, and I didn't, that you can do it once around. You don't need to do it twice. But if you do it twice, you get more information. But it moves around a circle. So there's the mind and the energy and the emotions and the you know, the activities of life, work and career and things like that, commitments that we make. And it moves you around, and there's a way of interpreting the cards as you go around this sacred circle and then come back into the center. I've been using it to do readings for the last month since I got my deck, and because I didn't have to wait, I ripped it open right away, and I've been amazed, because the thing is, we trusted what we were shown, and we were faithful to it, but the question was, you know, if you build it, will they come? If you build it, will it run? You know, will it? Can you jump in this car and drive it to the grocery store? You know, will it tell you whether you should marry that guy or leave the country? And it turns out that yeah, it drives like a I don't know, a Mercedes Benz or a Maserati or something. It drives, and it'll take you to the supermarket, but while it's taking you to the supermarket, it's sort of placing your desire to go to the supermarket in a bigger frame, in a bigger context. It's like you do know that your life is really magical and that you have a really important purpose here, and that it is important for you to make a decision, and we're going to try to help you decide what you should shop for when you get to the, whether you should buy carrots or broccoli. We'll help you with that. But really, we want to talk to you about the bigger picture. And it's been amazing. It's been blowing my mind. And I found it, and I know Danielle's been doing 3-card spreads, and I've been doing 3-card and 5-card in addition to the single card pulls, and it's just been like you pull, you know, like you going right to grandmother Spider Woman. It's been amazing. It's been amazing. So
I love the Wheel of Life. I love every single one of the images, but this Wheel of Life is just so rich and so beautiful. And another question that I have to ask you, because if I don't, I'm gonna hit myself on the forehead. Let's go a little bit as witches, from the very magical to the very mundane, the box, the design, the verse written on the box. I mean, all this is just so much like extra, you know, it's like the, what is it called? The thing they put on top of the cake, like the icing. There you go. It's like the icing on the cake. I love the boxes. First of all, the color is wonderful, blue, because, you know, I'm very biased about blue, being the bluish. But the little message inside, you're basically calling on the elements and giving instruction on how to do this reading for your daily, if you will. Mm-hmm. It's just wonderful. Where the idea came from? Is it your idea? Was it Hay House? Was it Danielle? Was it all of you? What's going on?
Well, they wanted the box. Hay House wanted the box. I mean, they have been, this was Michelle Pilley, the editor, and all of them. But Leanne Anastasi, who was the art director, and Joe Burgess, who is handling the public, everybody, the whole team. But the creative was us, but they wanted to do, they wanted this to be magic, and they wanted it to be something very special. They were very, Michelle was really unnerved when she got the image of the world, because she's a traditional tarot reader, and it freaked her out. But when she read what I had written and what it was all about, she was thrilled, and she realized that we were doing, that we were making, I hope, what serious tarot readers will consider to be a significant contribution to the genre that, you know, hasn't been done before. It wasn't our intention, it's just what it was, but that it's, you know, that it's an important contribution in that sense. But in a very real sense, I mean, they just wanted it to be magic from beginning to end, every bit of it. So the box is magical, and they wanted beautiful illustrations on the outside and beautiful illustrations on the inside. And they asked me if I would write spells for the deck, and I usually write some kind of a spell working, some kind of a blessing for everything I write. And so, yeah, I was like, of course I will. I was planning to do it in the book, but they said, we'd like you to do it in the box. So we did. I did the first one for the cover, the Magic of Feather, Song and Air, which invokes the four elements and then spirit, and gets you into the magic of the deck. And then in the well, I love that because you lift, you see the bag and the deck is in the bag, and then you lift it out and there's this surprise, which is the beautiful illustration once again with a second spell, which is a little playful, right? That it's but it's still sincere. And yeah, so it should make you smile when you'll be smiling anyway because you have your deck, and then you'll be smiling because there's a surprise, and then you'll be smiling because it's written. It was written with a smile on my face to make you smile. So it's a magic comes in threes. So it's three big smiles, and yeah. And I loved watching you open it up and look at it. I made me so happy. I was like, oh, I get to see, because I'm not going to get to see everybody when they get their deck and they open it up and there's one surprise after another after another. And all of them are about magic and joy and, you know, and the message of love and support and guidance and nourishment and blessings that even, you know, in the face of the most difficult things, terrible, hard, you know, hardships and you know, the great struggles that we all have to face because we've been doing everything wrong and because life is hard. You know, we age and we get sick and, you know, our bodies are temporary and they break down and they get recycled. That even that is part of a greater mystery that is one of the love that creates life. And if people take anything from this deck, I'm hoping that they will take messages of great love and inspiration and hope and courage. I love the Strength card. And that was an interesting combined journey because Danielle was going from, like, Taliesin, from one creature to another. She kept shape-shifting. And I was at the end of the journey. From the beginning to the end, I was the figure at the end surrounded by the animals and with wings and fins and scales and leaves and, this being who was all these beings. And the last line when I wrote it, well, I think it was the last line, was that the discovery of ours, that she discovers her strength by finding her purpose. And and in this case, her purpose is, you know, to speak for all the peoples, to speak for creation. And I think that's, yeah, I think the world needs her witches, and the reason the world needs her witches is that we need to learn why we're here, and we need to listen to the teachers, to the spirits and the animals and the plants who will teach us the things we've forgotten. And then we can speak with their guidance. We can speak for them because they can't speak for themselves, but they can speak to us. You know, they can speak to witches, and they can speak to tarot readers, and they can speak to seekers and people who come looking for answers. And they can help us find our way home.
Indeed.
And we're needed. You know, she needs us and we need her. So
absolutely, absolutely. Of course, the question that I have to ask, first of all, let me stir the pot a little. Folks, buy your deck, grab your phone, record yourself, tag Phyllis. You got it? You get it? You want it? Is yours? Good.
Say it again.
Buy your deck, grab your phone, record yourself opening it up, and tag Phyllis.
Yes, please. Oh, yes. How wonderful. Oh, my gosh. Oh, that is, I'm going to ask people to do that too on the web, on a Facebook page. Oh, Laura, you're a genius. Oh, your heart is so big and beautiful. Thank you. What a gift. Oh, my God.
Well, I figure I'm not the only one with a camera. We all have cameras in our hands. So buy your deck and open it up and record your reaction and tell Phyllis how you feel about it. Because I'm pretty sure all of us are going to be in awe, but maybe not all of us are going to connect with the exact same aspects the exact same way. And now in this day and age that everything is online and, you know, we can be sharing and tag and all that. And that's one of the wonderful things of communication. And there's the grandmother spider speaking.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the first thing. The second thing, they have to buy the deck. So where can they buy it?
Well, it's all over, which is wonderful because Random House does distribution for Hay House now. But of course on Amazon, and, you know, I know some people don't love, but it helps because it raises the visibility if you get it there, and they send it pretty quick. And they've discounted it today, so you get a little break on the price, which is great. And Barnes & Noble has it, and Indie Books is supposed to have it. You're not going to believe this, but Walmart.com is carrying it. Oh, I couldn't believe that. Like, okay, all right. Okay, that tells us, you know, we're everywhere. And, you know, and bookstores are supposed to have it, although I know that, you know, a lot of bookstores haven't reopened or, you know, limited hours. But and I'm going to carry it probably in about a month or so. You'll be able to get it from my website. And the ones that I send people, I will try to send people a signed book plate. I have book plate. Danielle made these beautiful book plates, and she signed them, and she sent them to me, and I signed half and sent them back to her, and I have the other half, so I can send people book plates when they buy the deck directly from me, but they won't be able to do that for a month. So don't wait a month. Do it now, and then you can write to me, and I'll send you a book plate. I'm so happy to have this conversation with you, and so it was a thrill beyond description to watch you open it. Yeah, it was, and thank you for asking people to share that with me. I can't tell you how happy it would make me, even if they don't love it. But I think they will. And I'm dying to hear how you find it in working with it. I'm so interested to hear. And yes, it will work. I know it will work as an oracle because as soon as I got it, I started using it as an oracle for myself. And it was so amazing to have it, to rediscover it, you know, after having created it with Danielle, then to have a rediscovery of it. Certain cards keep coming up for me that are very significant, that it amazes me. The Nine of Earth, the Wolves, is for me a very powerful card, and it keeps coming up. And, of course, love keeps coming up, which is very different. And, I love you, and I have loved our conversation. And I'm right here if you want to ask me anything else. Otherwise, we'll talk in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, no, we have to go. We have to go. But I have to just very quickly, I will wait for us to see each other so I can have your signature on my deck, but I wouldn't frown upon having a book. Oh my God, I forgot the name.
A book plate. You will send me your address privately, and I will send you a book plate
of
this
course.
Week.
Okay, that's awesome. And the other thing is, I know you're very busy. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing next, where you're doing it, and how can we join you while you do it.
Oh, I love you. Well, I am going to do two courses. My next one is with One Spirit Seminary, which is an interfaith seminary for interfaith clergy. And I'm doing a course on Wicca for them. I did one a couple of years ago, and they asked me to do it again. So it's because of COVID, It's going to be 4 weeks, 3 hours a night, once a week for 4 weeks, starting mid-November. People can find out about it on my Facebook page or my website. And I'm starting the proposal for my book on the Earth principles, the first principles, some of which I enumerated in the text for the deck. People will find them there. That book has been, you know, it's time to give birth to it. So I have to start, I got to get the proposal in shape. So I'm going to start working on that. And I'm going to put together an online course, which I will do probably in a couple months. I'm going to do a couple of courses on the deck, on reading with the deck, the mysteries of the deck, and doing healing magic with the deck. So I'm going to put a course together on that, and I'll start getting that out. So the very next thing, November 15th or 16th, something, I'm not sure of the date. I better double check. Starts the mentoring for the One Spirit Seminary. And I do a lot. It's an introduction to Wicca, but it's from this refreshed perspective I have of a new approach to a lot of the practices that I use. And it's very shamanic and does a lot of stuff with blessing work, blessing magic, and working with natural objects. And, yeah, and that'll be followed by some online classes for the deck. And hopefully, the next big book will be out 2022. I hope. Yeah, that's
wow.
I'd like it out sooner, but I don't know that that's realistic because I want it to be. It'll be a shorter book, more in size, like probably like the Four Agreements, that kind of, you know, concise, to the point. And hopefully inspirational and magical and universal.
Of course.
Yeah.
And I love you immensely back. And people can find you on Facebook as Phyllis Carote, and they can sign up to your newsletter. Because
yes.
I know I received the newsletter. I was looking at the prices of the seminar that you're going to be doing. Folks, it's very affordable. And you will be teaching. You will be taking classes from the one and only Phyllis Carote. And let me tell you something. It's very affordable. So thank you, Phyllis, for making that affordable for us. And how can they sign to your newsletter so they can learn all things Phyllis?
You go to the website. It's my name, which is confounds people. I should change it to a radio, right? It's phyllisciorot.com. So it's phyllis, first name, last name, Curot, curott, like ted.com. And it pops right up, and you can sign up for my e-list, and then you'll get a newsletter and you know, periodic stuff. And I'm going to be doing on Facebook Live, I think I'll be doing card pulls and card readings and periodically. You inspired me watching you. I was like, oh, I can do that. I can pull a card and talk about it. That would be great. So I'm going to try to do that on my Facebook page, the Phyllis Carote Facebook page. And I'm doing a lot of readings and consultations. I lowered the price point because, this is a tough period, and I scatter in a few. People have lost their job. I've been doing free consults and a certain number of free readings, you know, for people who really need who need it, and I've been happy to do it. So I've been really busy. I do about four readings or consultations a week, and that has been so nourishing for my soul. Just wonderful. As much help as I hope I'm giving other people, I find that being able to be present with folks, especially when they're in need, is, you know, makes me feel like I'm doing something worthwhile. And having the deck to help read with has been great. It's really been great. So I'm excited to see, you know, what happens as people get the deck and work with it themselves. It was intended as a healing deck, and I mean, it really does bring you into, I think, into a divine kind of energy that that is healing. So, yeah, it's an offering. It's an offering from spirit to the world and through us, which is how I see magic. You know, that I don't see magic as manipulation. I see it as artistry. I see it as what happens when you open your heart and you, you know, you step forward to participate in this great, incredible, gorgeous mystery, and you say, how can I serve? And you mean it, and the universe just flows right into you, and it heals you, and it changes you, because magic changes, the first thing magic changes is you, it does, and then you learn to work with it and shape it. It shapes you, and then you shape it, and then, you know, you sort of pour it out of yourself into the world as an offering instead of a sacrifice.
Yep.
An offering. Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. We have to unlearn so many concepts that are infused with guilt and control and hierarchy and patriarchy. And Phyllis, I could stay here and chat with you for another 3 hours, but I want to respect your time. I love you.
I love you.
With all my heart.
I love you. I love you.
I am very grateful to have you as my friend, as my teacher, as my colleague, and most importantly, as my guest tonight. And I thank you for being here. I thank everybody who's been listening. Thank you for hanging in there. I know we went a little over. And thank you, Phyllis. I leave you the microphone so you can say goodnight to your audience.
I say goodnight to everyone. It was a joy to be with you, Laura, and with everybody who is listening. Have a marvelous, magical, blue hunter's moon, Samhain. May our ancestors be proud of us. May we make them proud. Love you.
Love you, too. Good night. We're going to say good night tonight with a little song. This is in Spanish, but I figure let's do it because it's about the four elements. It's called Los Cuatro Elementos by Cielo y Tierra, a band from Mexico. Phyllis and everybody who's listening, we have a few folks in the chat and they're saying goodnight and they're saying they can say they can wait until they got the their tarot deck on their hands and they're wishing you happy holidays. So without further ado, good night, folks. You are loved. Good night.
Buenas noches.
Oh,
you for joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcasts, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.